Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotara Sattasi Simane Si Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Nika Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Vimsaka Husa Krishna Chaitanya Prabhanitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kundi Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Nabudip Dham Ki Jai Mathura Dham Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Kaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 4. Sati quits her body, text 17. Karno pidhaya nirayat yat akalpaha ishe dharma avitari ashini bihi nribihi asyamane Chindyat Prasahya Rushatim Asatim Prabhu Chet Jivam Asun Api Tataha Visrijet Saha Dharmaha Karno pidhaya nirayat yadakalpa ishe. Dharma vitarya shrinibhir nribhir asyamane. Tindyat prasahya rushatim nasatim prabhushchech. Ivamasuna pitato visrijet sadharma. Karno pithaya nirayad yadakalpa ishe. Dharma vitaraya shinibir nirvir asyamane. Chindyat prasahya rushatim asatim prabhushchej. Jivam asunna pitato visrijet sadharmaha. Karno pithaya nirayad yadakalpa ishe. Dharma vitari ashirbir nirbhirasya mana. Chindyat prasahya rushatim asatim prabhuchej.
Ivamasuna pitato visrijet sadharma.
Ladies. Dvasaya Prasatim Asatim Prabhuschej Jivam Asunna Pitato Vishajet Sadharma. Karno, both ears. Pidhayam, blocking. Nirayat, one should go away. Yet, if. Akalpaha, unable. Ishe, the master. Dharma avitari, the controller of religion. Ashrinibhi, by irresponsible. Nribihi, persons. Asyamane, being blasphemed. Chindyat, he should cut. Prasahya, by force. Rushatim, vilifying. Asatim, of the blasphemer. Prabhu, one is able. Chet, if. Jivam, tongue. Asun, his own life. Api, certainly. Tataha, then. Visrijet, should give up. Saha, that. Dharmaha, is the process. Translation. Sati continued.
If one hears an irresponsible person blaspheme the master and controller of religion, one should block his ears and go away if unable to punish him. But if one is able to kill, then one should by force cut out the blasphemer's tongue and kill the offender, and after that one should give up his own life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The argument offered by Sati is that a person who vilifies a great personality is the lowest of all creatures. But by the same argument, Daksha could also defend himself by saying that since he was a Prajapati, the master of many living creatures, and one of the great officers of the great universal affairs, his position was so exalted that Sati should accept his good qualities instead of vilifying him. The answer to that argument is that Sati was not vilifying but defending. If possible, she should have cut out Daksha's tongue because he blasphemed Lord Shiva. In other words, since Lord Shiva is the protector of religion, a person who vilifies him should be killed at once, and after killing such a person, one should give up one's life. That is the process. But because Daksha happened to be the father of Sati, she decided not to kill him, but to give up her own life in order to compensate for the great sin she had committed by hearing blasphemy of Lord Shiva. The instruction set forth here in Srimad Bhagavatam is that one should not tolerate at any cost the activities of a person who vilifies or blasphemes an authority. If one is a brahmana, he should not give up his body, because by doing so, he would be responsible for killing a brahmana. Therefore, a brahmana should leave the place or block his ears so that he will not hear the blasphemy. If one happens to be a kshatriya, he has the power to punish any man. Therefore, a kshatriya should at once cut out the tongue of the vilifier and kill him. But as far as the vaishyas and shudras are concerned, they should immediately give up their bodies. Sati decided to give up her body because she thought herself to be among the shudras and vaishyas. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.32, Striyo vaishyas tata shudra, women, laborers, and the mercantile class are on the same level. Thus, since it is recommended that vaishyas and shudras should immediately give up their bodies upon hearing blasphemy of an exalted person like Lord Shiva, she decided to give up her life. Karno pidhaya niriyad yadakalpa ishe dharma vitari ashrinibir nribir asyamane chindyat prasahya rushatim asatim prabhus chej jivam asun apitato visrajet sadharma. So, blasphemy of an exalted personality is very dangerous for society, because as soon as a great personality is blasphemed, then everything becomes inauspicious. Of course, it is extremely inauspicious for the person blasphemed. He's doomed. But not only is he doomed, but those who hear such blasphemy are seriously affected. One example of this took place during the time when Srila Prabhupada was in India and some of his disciples had gone to meet with some other personalities. And somehow or other it came that in that assembly, Srila Prabhupada's position was minimized. Some words were spoken which minimized his position. And when they came back, they related that to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, yes, you are permanently scarred for having heard that. So it is a serious thing. Why? Because someone may say, what is the difference? Certainly in our society, in our culture, if you wish to call it that, criticism of exalted persons is quite commonplace. And it appears as though the persons making the criticism are getting no results. We don't see them, lightning strike them. They like to say like that. If, all right, I'll make some blasphemous remark against God, and if he actually exists, let him strike me down with lightning. They say very boldly like that. And then they make their statement, and if no lightning bolt comes, then they become encouraged. And they say, see, no lightning bolt has struck me. Therefore, where's your God? If he's actually so powerful and all-pervasive, omnipotent, omnipresent, as you say, and I'm blaspheming here, why doesn't he do something? So by those kinds of statements, they wish to break the faith of others in God and in the faith of saintly persons and religion, everything. And it may not be that God strikes them down with lightning immediately, as in the case with Prahlad Maharaj. How many insults, how many blasphemous remarks did Hiranyakashipu hurl at Prahlad Maharaj? He called him every name. He criticized God, everything. And still, time went by, he was still living. And the answer is that the Lord, he certainly takes note of blasphemous remarks, and he will respond, but not necessarily instantly. He's not forced to respond instantly just because someone demands it. In the case of Hiranyakashipu, finally he became so adamant that he was going to personally try to kill Prahlad, and then he challenged once again, if your Lord is here, why doesn't he come before I kill you? If he's in this pillar, smash the pillar. So then the Lord came out. But God is not forced to respond just at the order of someone else, but he will respond in his own time. It's like the government. They may note that someone has committed a crime, and they may not arrest him or apprehend him instantly. They may watch him for some time until the right circumstance. So, some faith is required. We have to have some faith that there is God and that he does not appreciate those who blaspheme himself or his devotees. To blaspheme the devotee of the Lord is very serious. It is said, love me, love my dog. So, a master may tolerate an offense against himself, but he's very alarmed if his pet son or someone who's dependent upon him is blasphemed or harmed. In that regard, we can expect that there will be serious consequences. Even if they irresponsibly speak, we may say, well, what's the wrong with saying some words? Words don't hurt anyone. There was a instance where the demigods wanted to find out who was the supreme between Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. So they sent Bhrigumuni to test. First he went to Brahma, and instead of offering obeisances, he neglected to. It's proper, he's the son of Brahma, it's proper to offer obeisances in the presence of one's father or spiritual master. Father and spiritual master on the same level. So he purposely did not do so to see what would happen, and Brahma became very angry, but because that was an offense of the mind. Then he went to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva said, oh brother, you've come, so nice to see you, went to embrace him. And Bhrigu said, don't touch me, you're same thing as Daksha. Ashes all over from the crematorium, I don't want to be polluted by this. So that was an offense by words. And Lord Shiva also became very angry at that time. But fortunately, Sati, his wife, was present, and she fell at the feet of Lord Shiva and begged him not to kill his brother, Bhrigumuni. So he agreed. And then Bhrigu went to Lord Vishnu, and he used his foot and put his foot on the chest of Lord Vishnu in the presence of the goddess of fortune. She never forgave him for that offense. Therefore, the Brahmins are always poor. The goddess of fortune is not pleased. We can thank Bhrigu for that. You could say curse, or it's a blessing also for the Brahmins to be poor. But anyway, that's what happened. And Lord Vishnu, he forgave him. In fact, he didn't even consider it an offense. But the thing is, there are three types of offenses. Offense of the mind, offense of the words, and offense of corporal offense. Now, in Kali Yuga, it's such a fallen age that the first offense is not taken into consideration. One is not held responsible. There's no reactions for offenses of the mind in this age, fortunately. Otherwise, it just would be too much for the people in Kali Yuga whose minds are totally uncontrolled. But if they speak something irresponsible, they are held responsible. If they speak some blasphemous, for that they are held responsible. Therefore, one has to be very careful. We read in the scriptures that in a previous age, the wife of Janmadagnya, sage, she went to gather some water from the river, and she saw a very handsome demigod, Chittaratha, and in her mind she became lusty. And when she came back, her husband, due to his mystic power, he knew that she had committed this unchaste thoughts. Because it was a previous age, persons, including women, were held responsible for their misdeeds, even in the mind. And so he ordered her to be killed. And the son, Parashuram, had to execute. Later on, of course, by the mercy of Parashuram, she was brought back to life. And she didn't remember what had happened. That was the request of Parashuram. Anyway, previous ages, people were held responsible, but this age, they're not for mental offenses. But for words, yes, one has to be very careful. Therefore, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udaro upasta vegam, etan vegam, yovisha heta dira, sarvam apimam prativim sishishat. Six types of urges must be controlled. And the first, vacho, is the urge to speak. We may have the urge to say something very critical, but that urge has to be controlled, especially if we're dealing with a very exalted personality, a personality like Lord Shiva. Of course, there is no other personality quite like Lord Shiva. He's unique. But still, the Prabhupada extends the, or shall we say, clarifies what Sati is explaining here by saying that any authority or any, especially a advanced Vaishnava, devotee of the Lord, who is a protector of the religious principles, dharma avitadi, controller of religion, so spiritual master is especially in that category. Therefore, the spiritual master should not be considered an ordinary man. Any Vaishnava is a spiritual master because the Vaishnavas, they are vanchakalpa trubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. The Vaishnavas are desire trees. They are full of compassion for all the fallen souls. Therefore, they are also in the category. That's why to live in the association with devotees is a great opportunity, because one can make spiritual advancement very easily just by their association. If somehow or other the Vaishnavas become pleased with someone, then he automatically makes advancement by their kripa, by their mercy. And similarly, if someone misbehaves towards a Vaishnava, then his spiritual life is checked. Therefore, it's a razor's edge. Shurasya dara nishitam duratyaya. One has to be very cautious. Just like, for example, if one were to get to associate with, let's say, the President of the United States. Well, it's considered a momentous opportunity to make that acquaintance, maybe even get something accomplished, present some proposal. If he's pleased, then it can be done very easily. But similarly, if one makes some mistakes, speaks wrongly, or does something against proper etiquette, then he will probably never be able to have that opportunity again. He will be rejected and maybe punished for something. So, the devotees of the Lord are very, very dear. Sadayo hridayo mahyam, Krishna says. The sadhus are my heart. I'm in their heart and they're my heart. There's no difference, actually. Krishna protects the sadhus. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Konteya pratijani hi name bhakta pranasyati. My devotee shall never be vanquished. Now, someone may say, all right, protecting I can understand from physical harm, but I still don't understand why this, simply by speaking words, why is that? And the answer is that the Lord comes, dharma, to reestablish the principles of dharma. And when sometimes he comes personally and sometimes he sends his representatives, and when his representatives are there trying to establish the principles of religion and they are blasphemed, then it is a disrespect to the Supreme Lord himself. And if it's not if nothing happens, if there's no response, then it will be done again. Others will do it, and more will do it, and pretty soon, not only will they speak ill of the Lord, the supreme law, but they'll also begin to break the law. It begins with thinking. Thinking, feeling, and willing. First I think about breaking the law, then I speak about it to others. Hey, what do you think if we break into that shop? We begin talking about it. Well, maybe we could. Then I do it. So blasphemy is the second stage before doing. Therefore, it has to be checked at that stage. Just like at the airport. If you go to the airport and you say, oh, I've got a little bomb in that bag there. Those few words will get you in quite a bit of trouble. They don't take it. You say, after they, put handcuffs on you and throw you against the wall and whatever they may do, and interrogate you and make you miss your plane and so many other things. And you say, I was just joking. It was just a few. Come on, why'd you take it so seriously? I'll say, because those words are very serious. So words are powerful. Don't think that words are not powerful. Even from the material point of view, every sound vibration vibrates 7 times around the universe. It fills up the atmosphere. It goes around. What goes around comes around. And therefore, words have power. It's the most subtle shabda of all the material elements. Sound is the most subtle. Therefore, it fills everything. And if there are blasphemous remarks, there's nothing more degraded. What does Prabhupada say here? He's speaking that sati says, a person who vilifies a great personality is the lowest of all creatures. Lower than any animal. Lower than any wretched person. Because one who blasphemes, he's harming everyone. It's not that he's only harming himself, but by putting the words out into the ether, he is creating this horribly inauspicious, degraded atmosphere for everyone. In the case where there was a discussion that took place between some devotees of the Lord and Haridas Thakur. And they asked Haridas Thakur, being the Namacharya, to kindly speak about the glories of chanting the holy name. So he spoke beautifully and he explained how by chanting the holy name, even if one is not on the purified stage yet, even the middle stage, Nambhas, that one gets liberation very easily. So there was one Brahmin, very puffed up scholar in the assembly. And he happened to be very good looking and very handsome, well to do. He had all the opulences. But he became very upset. How is it that these sentimental devotees speaking like this, great sages and yogis undergo austerities to attain liberation? He's saying just by chanting one time the holy name of Krishna, this is ridiculous. And so there was some debate, some discussion, and finally he became upset and he said, if it's not true, if what you're saying is not true, then I'll cut off your nose and ears. And Haridas took the challenge. Yes, if it's not true, I'll cut off my own nose and ears. But the assembly was so angry with this offense that was committed, they immediately rejected him from the association. Immediately out. They could not tolerate that such an offense. And they went back and they were hitting themselves. Oh, we're so sorry. We brought you here just to be blasphemed. So Haridas didn't take any offense. He said, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. He's just talkative. But the Lord took it very seriously. And within a short time, that same Brahmana got leprosy and his nose melted off, his fingers melted off. So, we have to protect religion. We have to protect the principles of religion, even though we may not be Kshatriyas, we may not be exalted personalities, but we have to follow one of these. We've all remember when we were first shocked in reading Nectar of Devotion and we heard that what's supposed to be done when someone hears blasphemy? Cut out the tongue. We all went, cut out the tongue. Or leave that place, cover the ears. So at least we have to do something. If we can defeat the person who blasphemes, then that's all right. If one is very expert in speaking, he may be able to cut the person to shreds with his words. And then that's acceptable. If not, if he's a Kshatriya, the Kshatriyas, they have the duty to uphold law and order. And a Kshatriya, he will immediately cut out the person's tongue. You blasphemer, you blaspheme the great devotee, you blaspheme the Lord, cut the tongue. Then everyone will learn, don't blaspheme. Wherever someone asks him, what happened to you? You can't speak anything. His tongue is. And although people may say, oh, that's cruel, no, it's actually merciful. Because the punishment he would have gotten would have been far greater than simply getting his tongue cut out. Therefore, it's actually mercy by the Kshatriya who knows the religious principles. And just think how many others people are saved from punishment, from suffering by that. So therefore, we do have faith. But you may say, well, still it sounds cruel. But even in society here today, there's some semblance of this law. If someone speaks something irresponsible, let's say there's a big, like I said, at the airport. But say at a big theater, there's a big gathering, a huge theater full of people, and someone says, fire, fire! Starts yelling fire, and all the people stampede to get out, and people are harmed. Many people may be hurt because of his irresponsible statement. Therefore, it's against the law, and he would be punished very severely for that. So one has to be responsible for what he speaks. Any questions?
Because it delays or might even stop their progress.
Very good point. That's a very nice point. That it breaks the faith of the innocent persons or any persons who happen to hear that. Because without faith in the sadhus or without faith in the Lord, what is there? That's the beginning. Adho Shraddha. So the beginning is faith. And if whatever little faith we have is broken, is lost, then what hope have we got for the further steps of associating with devotees or taking initiation, performing devotional service? What chance is there? So yes, it's a very serious crime. In fact, Prabhupada once, when he was asked to speak on nonviolence, he said that violence is when one's progress is checked. So anyone who checks the progress of another is committing violence. So this is the great violence, yes, to do that. This Mataji then.
What do we do on a practical level amongst ourselves where some of us have experienced some blaspheming against, say, their Guru Maharaj, but it comes from devotees or even senior devotees, and you don't want to offend the devotee, but then you don't want to hear that either. So
yes.
On a practical, how would you?
Go away from that situation. not to hear it. Better to remain aloof from hearing that. That's also stated in the purport here. We may not be able to defeat them with argument, and we may not be able to, we're not allowed to cut out tongues, but we can, we should at least avoid hearing that. That's very important. Swavas Prabhu.
Well, what about the situation where people are, they feel that, call a spade, and maybe they want to point out a genuine fault or default of an individual, and they may be even speaking the truth. So sometimes when that's going on, you try to tell someone not to do that, then they feel like we're being Gestapo, that you're not having an opportunity to express yourself. If you see some difficulty or some fault, well, what are you supposed to do? Just kind of walk away and check it and let it go on? Or should you point out the difficulty? And who should you point it out to?
Yeah, that's it. It is a delicate situation. Even in the case of when Lord Brahma was impelled by lust, his sons, they were right in correcting him and approaching him under the right circumstances, in the right means. But if they do it improperly, then they're at fault. So when one is dealing with an authority, with spiritual authorities, then one has the responsibility of speaking, very gently and in appropriate time and circumstance, in the proper way, with due respect. It's like, the good sons, they approached him, they said, "Our dear father, you are the leader of religion, you're the leader of all the brahmanas, but we've never seen such a thing happen before as your." So they went to him, and it was proper for them to go to him. Even the book by Narahari Sakar, Krishnamrita, it is said that if the spiritual master misbehaves, it is the duty of the disciples to humbly go and request him to give up this misbehavior. So that's not an offense if it's done with all respect and humility. And it may be the duty of some devotees to have to point out some need for correction. But it should be done with due respect and at the proper time and circumstances, and not in a way that will be cause doubts amongst others, but in the appropriate, privately or some way discreetly.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Maharaj, for a nice class. I just wanted to make one further comment, and that is when one is blasphemed, or one hears blasphemy and he or she decides to walk away from it, as you mentioned, is the appropriate thing, so that his own spiritual advancement is not checked. On the other hand, we also have to leave a little opening for the possibility that that person who has done the blaspheming and sees you walk away then becomes conscious of the fact that he has committed a blasphemous, an offensive remark, and then may further, after considering it, realize that this was wrong, and then may propose to apologize for that blasphemous remark and beg for forgiveness. So we also have to leave enough space within our heart to be able to forgive if the blasphemous remark is duly and properly and genuinely, sincerely repented for, so that that person can further be cleared of the sin and then be allowed to further advance.
Yes, we need to create an atmosphere of intolerance towards blasphemy. A Vaishnav community must create an atmosphere of intolerance towards blasphemy. It's not that blasphemy should be part of our daily fare. We should not allow that. And we should do whatever is necessary. Like The question was what to do. Walking away, yes, that was one point. But then we should also be concerned and discuss the how can we try to avoid this in the future so that our community can grow, so that we can make advancement. If blasphemy is performed in a place and nothing is done, then everyone is going to suffer for it. So therefore, we should create that type of atmosphere. This Prabhu had his hand up first.
Haribol, you mentioned how bad sounds go around the universe, but wouldn't it be true that the Harinam mantra is also going around the universe?
Yeah, definitely. That's why we're trying to increase the chanting and decrease the blaspheming. The more we chant, the less time we'll have for blaspheming.
I know the class is going on, Maharaj, but on the last point you made about not tolerating this culture, I think one way to not tolerate is to deal with things immediately. Sometimes we see that things don't get dealt with, or they get swept under the rug or delayed. And in this information age, in this internet age where good news and bad news goes around instantly, things have to be, for instance, a very practical example. News comes that somebody has fallen down, so-and-so guru or spiritual master, whatever. And, of course, the disciples, they start reacting, and sometimes in a heavy way. How dare you say that? You know, they're ready to kill you sometimes, beat you up, because that word has gotten out somehow. Hmm. The authorities then have the responsibility to immediately deal with that. Find out, is it true, is it not true? Hmm. Broadcast, we have investigated, this is not true, or we've investigated, this is true. Many times that doesn't happen. The whole thing just remains tenuous and floating and this way and that way for months until finally something is said. So I think if you want to have that kind of culture of intolerance towards blasphemy, then you have to have instantaneous response to heavy, you know, statements like that. Somebody has to take the responsibility to investigate and get the word out. Is this true or is it not true?
It's a difficult age, as you say. The internet has complicated things even more because when an irresponsible person can blaspheme for the whole world to hear just simply from his room without even anyone even knowing who it is sometimes. So, yes, it's a difficult age. And, of course, we prefer to broadcast the good news. Bad news comes of its own accord. So generally, Vaishnavas prefer not to give, you know, unpalatable news. Yes?
Yeah.
You know, someone may think they're not really blaspheming. They're actually just giving you the news. In other words, I'm not really trying to criticize. I'm just telling you what I heard. You know, I don't know if it's true or not, but you should know that such and such has done such and such. I don't know it for sure, but I do. I heard that. So I think also right next to blasphemy is gossip.
Mm.
You know, without any knowledge. Sometimes I find that if somebody comes and tells me something, I say, well, how do you know?
Yeah, that's it.
And when I ask them, how do you know, it immediately angers them. In other words, they become angry because you're like questioning where their source is. So I think we ought to stop the gossip by saying, well, how do you know? Yeah. Who did you get your information from?
Yeah, we can say, when something comes, they can say, where did you hear it? And if they become angry, say, please don't take it. I don't mean any of, I'm not doubting you. It's just that before I allow it to enter into my mind, because this statement, before I allow it to enter my mind, I want to verify that it's authentic. And I certainly wouldn't want to pass it on unless it was authentic.
I find out that they usually use the word they. But when you try to dig deeper and find out, who is this they? You know, because as a temple president, sometimes devotees will come to me and say, well, Savas, I didn't do this, but they told me that you're a rascal. So I said, well, okay, I may be a rascal, but who are they? Well, you know, just some people. So the tendency is to gossip. We like to actually point out something as if we know something, as if we're privy to some inside information. And it's our nature, it's our envious nature and our critical nature. So, you know, don't pose yourself as somebody just like a newscaster, that you're just presenting the news and it's not really you, because you're also part of that offense. That's also offensive. So we should stop our gossiping. And if somebody comes up to you and gossips, instead of getting to a whole scene, well, you know, how do you know?
Yes.
Well, they told me. Well, who's they? And then you find out it's actually you. It's actually the person saying it. It's actually them. They're the ones that want to spread the news.
Yes, we should not pass on any such derogatory remarks about someone unless we're sure that it's true and if it's appropriate. But if we pass it on without having verified it, then we also become, we become part of the same problem. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.